Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and this is America's Heroes Group. And it's November 2nd, obviously, 2019. And I'm Cliff Kelly, the host. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. And as I mentioned earlier, our digital media producer, and I'll say it again, Manny Corzare is normally with us. His dad died, unfortunately, yesterday, so obviously he's not with us. And as I also mentioned, Ezra McCann, a good friend, a captain, a Marine vet. His mom died, and that also. So unfortunately, that funeral was this morning, too. But the great thing about Ezra, if you've seen him, who else was at the funeral services? His grandson. Mm-hmm. Who was named for him, wow. Which is just great. Yeah,
great family.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful family. Anyway, we are now America's Heroes Group Roundtable on Public Policy. November is Bone Marrow Awareness Month. Did you know that? Well, anyway, we are pleased to have in our studio usual roundtable people. We are pleased to have Attorney Ernesto Borges with us. Pompey, how
good,
you doing?
Great. Good afternoon, Cliff.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to be
and
here.
And, of course, the person who knows all about the money and so forth is Sean Claiborne.
How you doing?
Sean, how money. You doing?
Yeah, checks in the mail.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, it's just crazy what's going on here relative to the cancer cases rising among veterans who we were trying to get. Rochelle is also with us. I'm sorry, she's not here. She's Rochelle. Hi, Rochelle Crump.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Rochelle Crump, founder and president of NWVU. Thank you so much. Usually you say accounted.
she's caught in traffic because that Columbus Drive is closed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yes. Right.
That's what, okay. I'm president accounted for.
Dr. Damon Arnold was supposed to be with us, too, who's one of our regular panelists, and this would have obviously been one of his
right
things.
Talking
talking about this. Yeah. But we're going to do a situation. There's a couple of CNN clips we're going to talk about. There's a handout we are looking at. New York Post, dramatic rise in cancer cases among veterans is raising new questions. And this is a serious situation when you've got a circumstance like that.
Mm-hmm,
do we have that clip on the CNN audio? Okay. Let's hear that, please. Mm-hmm.
It was the hardest of places to get into and hardest to guess he'd be hiding in. This is all that's left of where the world's most wanted man hid, possibly for weeks. Much of intelligence value whisked away, flattened to rubble by repeated airstrikes. Cleared up, it seems, by the Islamists who control the area. We obtained these images from a local cameraman, able to function in a region where Al-Qaeda are strong, but where, elsewhere, civilians are bombed too often for life to be normal. Two of the dead here collected and taken away. Shells litter the area, perhaps from the 8 helicopters that arrived here in the dead of night before US commandos blew holes through the compound walls. Ahmed was woken just before 11 p.m. local time and was shocked to see helicopters hovering about 150 meters up. 90 minutes later, a blast follows. Doors and windows of houses as far as 1 kilometer away were completely shattered, he said. We waited until sunrise before we came here and we saw the bodies of the martyrs, women and children, body parts, about 6 to 7 dead. In the morning, we heard that Baghdadi was here, but people living here thought displaced people from Aleppo lived in the house, working in the cattle and grain trade. No one knows, he said, exactly what happened. Somewhere below this dust is the tunnel where
that is something that's just talking about
Baghdadi there.
Baghdadi. Right, exactly. Yeah. There's also talking about, we didn't let it go because, you know, we had to discuss this, but about a military dog and their importance of military dogs. But it's seemingly what their suggestion is, there's dramatic rise in cancer cases among veterans, is raising these new questions. Rectal and prostate cancer have been declining with veterans nationwide and have seen a staggering increase in urinary, prostate, liver, and blood cancers over the past two decades, leading some military families to wonder whether toxic environments in the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan are to blame, according to a disturbing new report. Now, the rate of treatment for ex-soldiers with liver and pancreatic cancers at the Department of VA health care centers have increased an astonishing, get this, 96% between fiscal year 2000 and 2018, according to the McClatchy investigation that was just published Wednesday. This is a horrific situation. Right. I mean, yeah.
And it's very scary.
Oh, it is scary.
Veterans.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, because it, it even ties into the case where there were the Abu Bakr Baghdadi, the types of operations we're going into when you're bombing and you're, you have all this rubble and dust. We just talked about 9-11 and how the 9-11 the dust got into people's lungs, first responders' lungs, was causing kinds of problems. You're getting experience with that and overseas in these different conflicts. And as young men, you know, going over there, now we're finding out that they're coming back with cancer and coming up and developing cancer. Now, the sad part about that is that sometimes you can't get this development or the news that you have cancer for decades after you've been exposed to whatever environmental risk you were in that might trigger a cancer of some sort.
You know, it reminds me of...
Let me stop you 1 second before you respond.
Sure.
Bladder, kidney, and cancers increased 61%. Prostate increased 23%. Blood cancer treatments, lymphoma, leukemia, 18%. Consular,
what causes me to think about this? You know, when you think about cigarettes and cigarette smoking and how they hid the effects of cigarette smoking for so many years because this tobacco industry is so so
powerful,
rich and powerful, and the lobbyists are so persuasive, and just withholding information. And I think some of these companies that make these armaments and these bombs and from napalm to, you know, my experience in Vietnam to Agent Orange and to these explosives, these high explosives, they contain ingredients that you don't know about. You don't, and they don't want to expose the harm that, that these explosives are doing to people, just as the tobacco industry hid it from us. I think that these Dow Chemical or whoever makes it, Monsanto, all the things they make, they're hiding it. Or just like this weed killer or whatever that these people are getting, Roundup, that they hid that for all these years.
Yeah.
So same thing is happening in the military-industrial complex.
And I think it's even more despicable because of the fact that the cancers amongst men in the United States have actually been steadily decreasing in the United States.
Yeah.
But here with veterans, U.S. veterans, particularly amongst men, and even more so amongst women, it's dramatically increasing. Which is a red flag right there.
You bring up a good statement there, and that's what I wanted to ask Rochelle. Rochelle, what about that?
Yeah, and I agree
with just mentioned.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm glad that Sean came back and said women also. I think the first statement only mentioned males. And we know that so many women are also going, you know, on the battlefield, and like every place else, we don't know what the environments have. You know, we're finding out years later just on different bases of what were there back in the 70s and the 80s. So it's going to be the same process. You're only going to know about that years later, you know, because no one is telling the truth about anything because of the fears of what, you know, will have to take place in order to clear up everything and make it safe. So, of course, you know, we just have to go by what we hear and the things that they can do to do studies and, you know, research to change some things that we have more knowledge on. But right now, we're just all at limbo of what we're hearing.
It's crazy. There's no OSHA regulations in Syria or Baghdad. So the companies have the free reign to do what they want to do. They basically create these products to kill people.
Yeah.
And the crossfire is our U.S. veterans and our military service members. And like with women, for example, you have reproductive systems. Now you can possibly pass on some of these things to a second generation when you come back.
And men. It affects sperm. The sperm in men also. even Agent Orange does that. Mm-hmm. So, and causes infertility and so
forth. And Agent Blue.
And Agent Blue. Yeah, they had Agent Blue, Agent White, Agent Orange, Agent Red. Mm-hmm. It's just that Agent Orange was the most popular. But but there were like five. I went to one of the meetings and I didn't realize they had Agent White, Red, Orange,
Blue,
Green.
Blue. Yeah. Our number is 312-374-8130. If somebody has a question or a comment on this, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
This is extremely, very, very...
And I'll just say this.
Yeah.
It's because the barrel, the color of the barrel of the of the chemical.
Yeah.
They were orange barrels.
Yeah.
So that's why they were color-coded.
Yeah, it's terrible. Dr. Michael Kelly, Chief of Hematology and Oncology for the VA, argued that more research is necessary. Well, there's no doubt about that. There's more research necessary. That's true. But in the time that that takes, you know, what's happening?
How many people are going to die in the
and
continue to get exposed.
Yeah,
right. And the crazy part about it is the fact that that is one of the reasons why the VA system and the healthcare system for the VA is so important, because when you go into a regular hospital to get treated because you have symptoms of a cancer or something like that, you don't necessarily, to the doctors that are civilian doctors, and it's not obvious what you were exposed to or why you were exposed to it.
True.
So they are used to seeing cancer develop in the normal environmental ways and normal ways that we get it as civilians. As military members, when you're exposed to a weird chemical that shouldn't be in your body and it triggers your immune system to react a certain way and you develop a cancer, it might take even longer to be diagnosed.
Sure. Right.
And there's only a certain number of people that are exposed to it, so therefore it makes it more difficult to determine how to treat it.
Right, exactly.
Because on the questionnaire, you know, you go to the questionnaire now, you go to see the doctor and they say, are you a smoker? Mm-hmm. That's one of the first things they ask you, are you a smoker?
Right.
Well, they don't ask you, well, did you inhale explosives?
Right,
you know, smoke? they don't ask you that.
Maybe gunshots.
Yeah, you're in
right. If you're on the west side, you know.
But inhaling, people don't realize how you inhale all. I was reading something the other day. We're talking about plastics, microplastics.
Yeah.
They're even in the air, so you're breathing microplastics into your system. So God only knows what you're doing on a, you know, in a military combat.
I did hear one small comment about, and I was thinking about it because I knew, you know, this problem with these, I'm really sorry for these people out in California. Because breathing that.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to have an impact.
Yeah. Just think about all the things. Asbestos, for example, in the 70s and before that, asbestos was used in every single household in America.
Yeah.
And now people are dying from asbestos.
Mm-hmm. Asbestos and lead pipes.
Yeah.
You didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm. you're safer now, right?
Yeah.
If anybody has a question or a comment, 312-374-8130. We have a caller. Randy, how you doing?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you, Mr. Kelly?
Fine, Randy. Thanks for calling.
You're more than welcome. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon to your guest.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, Randy.
Yeah, I want to ask you something. There's a friend of mine. His name is Robert McKay. I think you probably know him. He's a former inspector and a veteran. And he was exposed to the Agent Orange and Purple and all that stuff you mentioned. Yeah. In your discussion, what do you call Agent Orange? I think Agent Purple was Dioxin or something, if I'm not mistaken. And I wanted to ask, you know, why is it difficult for veterans like Brother Robert McKay and others who are good brothers and sisters who've been exposed to this stuff, why is it that the government refuses to address their issues in a forthright manner? This person has been to certain congressional representatives and senators, and they have failed to address these issues, and I just want you to respond to that.
Well, I think, first of all, as American citizens, we need to start pressing our government and our Congress to change the laws so that you don't have to fight to get your medical benefits when you come out of the military. The biggest, craziest thing about the healthcare system in the military is that once you get out, every time you want to try to get a benefit or get treatment, it's a fight. You have to go and prove that you got this in the military. You have to prove that you deserve this. You have to prove that you deserve any kind of healthcare. Whereas if you go into the military, if you go take a regular civilian job and you get sick for any reason, you don't have to prove to Blue Cross and Blue Shield that you deserve to get health coverage. You just go and you take your health card to the doctor. The doctor goes and does his thing, whatever like that. As long as it's nothing, you know, out of the ordinary, they go and he treats you. The military doesn't work that way. You have to go through all these hoops to get treated.
And I think it's really ridiculous. I mean, I'm sorry. I just want to kind of interject. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Right, Randy, let me just ask you this. Is McKay, Robert, I know Robert McKay, but he died. Are you not?
No, he's alive.
Okay, this is different.
He's alive, and he's been exposed to this stuff. And the problem is that you can't get people right here in Illinois to address his issues in a forthright manner. And I just wondered, what can be done? What solutions or options do you have in terms of trying to address it? Because I think they're just waiting for people just to die from it. They've been stalling and pussyfooting around and not addressing this issue along with other veterans. And I think it's unfair. And I think that there needs to be some kind of investigative hearing, and they need to do some kind of forensic investigation to find out what's going on and take the military to task for this.
Well, you know the president is. It's all about money.
Oh, the president.
It's about money.
I'm concerned about age.
It's about money.
Age it on.
Yeah, I know, but it's unfortunately so much of this is about money, and it's so sad to say that.
But this is Rochelle.
Rochelle, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. It's getting better in terms of how they're now recognizing some of the conditions when they come out. The problem in the past, and it's still somewhat a problem, but they do recognize it as a problem, is that when military people come out, they don't necessarily file right away. So there's a period of time that goes on because a lot of the illnesses don't occur right away. They may occur years later.
Mm-hmm. And so but the thing about to interject real quick, they're not even aware of it.
Hold on. Let her finish.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And so what happens years later, now that's when they're saying that you have to prove things. One is because they look at what type of jobs that you currently have, what kind of jobs you held before, you know, different things like that, that sometimes they may say may have been the primary cause of your condition or whatever, but it took so long for those illnesses to develop that it's like a toss of the coin as to whether or not they're going to recognize it as part of your service. But now what they're doing is they're giving the benefit of a doubt. Mm-hmm. Now they are. So that's one of the regulations that they changed. That's why now when you leave, they put your
presumption
in your hand. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is a presumption. Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I appreciate the points that you're raising, but I think they're deliberate. I think that a lot of times they're aware, as a matter of fact, there have been various studies and reports showing that the military and others are quite aware of what they expose the soldiers to, those who serve, and they deliberately withheld information because a lot of times you're not even aware that you're ill or been exposed to certain things that are going to have an adverse or negative impact on your health whether in a couple of months or years later. So I think it's kind of unfair, and I think it's deliberate. I think what we're dealing with is subterfuge and deception on the part of the U.S. military, the U.S. government. So I won't keep you any further, but I just want to appreciate you. Know, and so keep up the good work, Ms. Kelly, and the rest.
Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you. And there's a lot of people who would agree with you. Right. That's for sure.
But to Randy's point, we need to start getting this.
And I agree with them also.
Yeah, we need to start getting people to.
I don't disagree with them.
Right.
Not at all.
But you have to show, service-related. People are going to get sick anyway.
You've
got to show it's service-related.
That's the problem. The service's whole argument about trying to prove that you're service-related or not. Once you become a veteran, and once you get to, especially when you're deployed, it should be automatic for the rest of your life. You should have automatic veteran health care, period. So once you put on the risk, there's so many things that you can't really prove. And by the time you prove it, if it doesn't, you could be long in the casket, been gone in the casket. Yeah. So when you take that responsibility of being a veteran or going on to being put on a uniform, the military and the government needs to say, okay, we will take care of you when you come home. You don't have to file a form to try to prove that this is service related or not service related.
Mm-hmm.
You are part of the family. Well, we are going to take care of you, period.
Well, mm-hmm. The thing is, I just got an increase. I was 80%. I got a letter 2 days ago said I was bumped up to 90%. But there were some other things. I had a stroke. I lost the vision in my right eye and some other things. But they put on their deferred, I have some other conditions, the numbness in the foot and all that and feet. And so they gave me 20% for that. But the other matters that you may complain about, they put deferred, and not denied, but deferred.
Right.
So I guess that's their way to say.
Which means what?
It means you're denied.
Right.
Nice little term. We'll talk about it later. We'll
Yeah. Rochelle, what's the big difference with the women, as you've been able to see, how they're treated with these situations?
Oh, absolutely. There's always that same pushback.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and even more for them, especially with the military sexual trauma and all those things, you know, when you're talking about health, it's the same treatment that the males get, you know, it's still a fight if you don't file right away with the military sexual trauma. Luckily, they went back and they started reviewing those cases and seeing how they had kind of like just went through the whole process and said no, no to everyone. And then they went back and looked at it, and you've seen that before where the OIG said, you need to recall all of those cases and examine them again. And that's when, you know, we started telling women, you know, you need to go back and you need to file over again. So hopefully, you know, they are following that process and that they are keeping up. A lot of them went in at first, too, initially without having a service officer. So they were only following things that they heard, just file a claim. Well, no, you need to have a service officer, someone who is, you know, knowledgeable with the laws of the VA and the criteria in which they kind of, you know, find a solution to or connect your disability to the law. So a lot of them had to go back, and then they had to get a service officer. So meanwhile, on the ranch, all of these appeals are piling up. Let's just say that. Yep. You know, it's kind of looked like the Vietnam veterans cases when they first discovered Agent Orange. We had to just stack them up until they came up with a real law and a process and a procedure with how to move forward.
But I tell you, I appealed mine.
I know you did.
And it happened fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was surprised. Yeah. I didn't apply until I think I started this show. Mm-hmm. And I think within a year, they gave me 80%. Mm-hmm. And I appealed that not
too long
ago.
Well, yours is extenuating, Ernesto, because you have documentation of a Purple Heart. And you know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
yeah,
that's how you...
And a radio, and a voice on the radio.
Yeah, I've got friends in high places. I was surprised, man.
You told me that.
That's how you got through. Because they have a law.
Can I get that other 10% though? Who I have to talk to? I'm just because you know. Then you get the dental care. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you get ridiculous.
No dental care at all. You know.
And that's what I mean. Why
you
got to
get 100% to get dental care?
Jump through all these hoops to get treated when we were on the battlefield defending the country or doing what we were told to do. Mm-hmm. Nobody cared then. And not just when we're talking about, you know, being exposed to things in foreign environments or foreign countries. Even the equipment that comes back, you know, the equipment that comes back from these fields, and you're working on these on the equipment that's sprayed with all kinds of chemicals and things like that.
True.
If you get exposure that way,
you know,
stuff sitting in depots, you know, in warehouses for 30 years, and then somebody has to go and move that stuff at one point.
Somebody was telling me that didn't even work over there, but was doing exactly what you're talking about with mechanical things here that have certain problems that the people who work on them, you know?
Yeah, the chemicals and things that they spray and you're exposed to. And
That's true.
Hey, Rochelle, do you know, because, you know, with my benefit, I hate to talk about this, but, you know, they said effective 6 months from not till June or something. I mean, how does that work? You know, you get this, and then they say,
effective till June?
Yeah, it becomes effective July.